From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
This is an opportunity to fix the problems of Illinois and begin reestablishing the essential services that government is supposed to deliver.
These are teaser rates. These are lying rates. Watch out.
For a woman at my stage in pregnancy, where the baby responds to his dad's voice as he reads him books at night, the woman could go to the facility. The baby is perfectly healthy. But if that woman says, based on my familial health, this is medically necessary, that is allowed.
I am disgusted by the propaganda that is out there suggesting that any woman late in her pregnancy or even after giving birth, as I've heard from some, and then decide, I just don't want this child, and simply end its life. It's disgusting and it's insulting to women and it's insulting to the doctors who have taken that Hippocratic oath.
It is time to hit the reset button on the war on drugs.
We can disagree, Mr. President, on tax policy and environmental policy and what a balanced budget looks like, but we can all get on the same page, I hope, that what we don't want to do at this time and place is to do something that will make it more likely that more of our citizenry will at some point develop mental illness.
Well, we've made it to the end of the spring legislative session. 5 months comes down to the final day for several key issues. And a note, we are recording our show this week midday on Friday, so still some time left and some things left on the agenda for lawmakers, and we'll talk about that coming up just ahead. I'm Sean Crawford, and you're listening to State Week with me in studios at NPR Illinois on the campus of the University of Illinois Springfield. It's Charlie Wheeler, director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at UIS, and a longtime Statehouse reporter and observer. And with us from the Capitol Building, IPR Statehouse editor Brian Mackey, and our guest this week, Amanda Vinicky from WTTW and Chicago Tonight. Amanda, it's always good to have you back on.
I always love being back.
Well, I'll start with both of you in the Statehouse studios. And Brian, maybe go to you first. One of Governor Pritzker's top wants for this session did get completed, a constitutional amendment question asking voters to change from a flat income tax to a graduated tax. That will be on the ballot next fall, November 2020. Fill us in on what's at stake with this piece of legislation, this idea of a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, what's at stake is about $3.5 billion, depending on whom you ask, to do what Governor Pritzker says is necessary to fix some of the longstanding structural deficits in this state. There have been a lot of proposals over the years of redoing the state's taxing system, whether that be imposing service taxes, moving away from sales taxes on goods and products and moving to services. But one of those other calls we've heard a lot about is moving away from our flat tax to a graduated tax. And that is what lawmakers put on the ballot. This is a constitutional amendment because the flat tax is ensconced in the Illinois Constitution, has been since 1970. And this would go before the voters. Voters will have the final say. It has to be 60% approval when this question is on the ballot in November 2020, or I think it's a majority of the people voting in the election if they vote in favor of this, even if it doesn't clear 60% on that particular question, then it would be approved.
Amanda, this was Governor Pritzker, maybe I would say near the top of his agenda going into this session, and it's a win for him. I think there's no other way to look at that, just to get it on the ballot.
It's a huge win for him, considering that, as Brian noted, overhauling Illinois' tax structure has been something that's been talked about for a long time. Other governors have attempted to do. Looking back to the last Democratic governor, Pat Quinn, the graduated income tax was something that he, too, embraced and wanted. I'm not sure how much political capital Quinn had to really throw at that. And unlike J.B. Pritzker, of course, Quinn, nor really any of the previous governors, including Bruce Rauner, had enough of the actual capital and money to put behind a campaign pledge, bringing it to fruition like this. It is certainly significant that the legislature voted to put this on the 2020 ballot, but ooh, this is nowhere near the end of it, because, of course, leading up to that point in time, you're going to surely see a huge public battle waged to voters. Already that is the case, where you're having constantly, we're getting press releases, commercials on the radio, on TV, on both sides, business entities trying to fight against this. And then Pritzker has said that he won't say how much money he's putting behind a group called Think Big, sort of a play on his Think Big pledge during when he was running for governor. But he is putting his own money behind trying to actually get voters to ratify that amendment. So it is central in so many reasons. I will say, however, that the tax discussion isn't done, because even in order to get Democrats on board, and interestingly, I would point out that while there had been some speculation, I mean, frankly, I thought, yes, Pritzker is going to get his way. It's going to get on the ballot. How many Democrats will back it, we don't know. Really, there was just one in the House that didn't vote for it, and we still don't really have a good answer as to why. All Democrats backed the constitutional amendment, save for one representative, Andre DiPetti, who didn't vote at all, left the floor, and we're not sure what that really is all about. Regardless, in order to get some of those Democrats on board, Pritzker, immediately following the vote, had a press conference with them announcing yet another task force, this time looking at property taxes. There's still a lot of consternation as to Illinois' overall tax structure and how to deal with that. Those questions about taxing services, a sales tax on services, as the economy changes and is a more modernized and service-based than goods-based, that's not part of this.
Yeah, you know, state.
And another part of it, too, had to do with property taxes, which I thought was interesting. There was legislation that came through the House, and it's now pending in the Senate, to create an Illinois property tax relief fund that would say a certain amount of money from the new revenues generated by the graduated income tax would be put into this fund, and each tax year, the comptroller, based on the total number of homestead exemptions that are on file with assessment officials across the state, would divide up equally among those assessments the amount of money in this tax relief fund. So you might be getting $200, $250 back as part of, a way to kind of ease the pain of the tax, higher taxes that you might have to pay. Although the way the rates are structured now, only people at the very, very top end of the income scale would wind up paying more.
Go ahead, Brian. I think you wanted to get in there.
Well, I was just going to comment on, you know, Amanda talked about the task force, which is sort of the last refuge of when you have an intractable political issue and you either don't know how to solve it or you know how but don't have the political will to solve it. Create a task force so you can put off the tough decisions for another day.
Well, Brian, let me ask you this, because when we sat down to record this midday Friday, I want to make that clear to people. Not only has a state budget not been approved in the legislature, I think only maybe a handful of people have an idea of what even is going to be in this. We don't seem to know at this point. They've not made that clear to us and not released the information yet. Is there any sort of late intelligence coming in regarding the budget?
Not much. I mean, what we've heard this week is that there have been a lot of fits and starts this year, but Democrats and Republicans are said to be still negotiating with each other. We've heard that a lot of the revenue ideas that Governor Pritzker put forward earlier this year are not going to be a part of this final budget solution. For example, the bag tax, lawmakers have said, is not getting a lot of support. Some of the ideas he put forth, like a cigarette tax, that could end up going to fund an infrastructure plan. But then again, gambling, if there's a casino expansion deal, could go ahead and, you know, a lot of that money could help fund an infrastructure program, particularly with regards to construction needs at universities and hospitals and schools across the state. But, you know, we need to emphasize, as you said, we're taping this midday. I literally just hit refresh on a pair of bills that are thought to be where the budget bills were going to end up, and there have not been any amendments. Actually, there was an amendment filed on one of those, so we may be getting some budget numbers as we're sitting here.
Breaking news.
I will say, Sean, what we do know also is that repeatedly leaders of these negotiations have said that the budget is not going to be banking on passage of marijuana being legalized come next year, nor is it predicated on sports betting. Rather, sports betting, which is something that Pritzker had wanted and was part of his original budget proposal, it is presumed if there is, in fact, a gambling package that is passed, that would go to pay for the infrastructure. So what it is going to be banking on is passage of this tax on managed care organizations. That is going to be part of the budget plan. And I've heard that really beyond that, not a whole lot of new revenue. That is where Pritzker sighing a big sigh of relief and thankful, using every shred of the money that is going to be coming in from that unexpected federal, unexpected windfall, given in large part changes to the federal tax code. We also know that the governor's spending plan had talked about following through on a campaign pledge to do away with those privately funded, giving tax credits to donors to a scholarship program to send students to private schools. That is something that had been part of the overall education funding overhaul under Rauner's administration. Again, Pritzker wanting to do away with it, but it appears as if with an agreement with Republicans and frankly Democrats, you have all the, every one of the legislative leaders is himself a product of a private school. That is no longer going to be the case. Those will continue to be funded under the budget. And the governor's office saying that Pritzker's committed to negotiating in good faith with Republicans, saying his budget will not only reflect those negotiations, but his commitment to funding public education properly in line with that historic education funding reform. And that is a statement from the governor's office in terms of what they're sharing at this point on the budget.
Well, Charlie, if we're talking about giving some more money to elementary secondary education, if we're talking about some of these other ideas, revenue ideas, gambling, marijuana, even if those even get through, then basically, you know, not counting on that money, should we be prepared for a more austere budget from the governor? And I think there are some people, higher education might be one of those areas where that people have been sitting out there thinking a lot more money is going to come in now that a Democratic-controlled General Assembly and governor's office is in place.
Well, I think, and this has always been true in all the time that I've watched, that there is never enough money to fully cover the costs of all the good programs that are out there. Higher education will not get everything that the universities and colleges need to put them back to where they were before, I guess going back to the disaster that was Rod Blagojevich and carrying on through Bruce Rauner. There will not be enough money to pay caregivers what they really ought to get for the kind of care they provide to seniors who are staying at home, and that care enables the state to save money on the cost of having those seniors living in nursing homes. But I think, as Amanda said, the fact that the revenues came in so high above expectations, it enabled the Pritzker administration to back off one of the more contentious parts of their initial budget, namely delaying the full payment into the pension funds. And it gave them an additional chunk of new money that was not anticipated for the budget that is being put together now. So people won't get everything they want, but it'll be a lot better than it's been in past years. And Pritzker himself described this budget as a bridge to what we can do in 2021, assuming voters next year ratify that constitutional amendment, because then there will be, what, $3.5 billion more dollars coming in.
And the state still has a lot of unpaid bills date back, so they're still in the hole.
Oh, yeah. They finished up the last fiscal year, which would have been, what, it would have ended on June 30th last year, with a deficit in the general funds of roughly in the neighborhood of $5.5 billion, I believe, if memory serves. But at the same time, they had a surplus. If you take all the 700 funds that the state manages, they had a surplus of almost $100 million. So in a sense, the budget was balanced. But the it's unrealistic to expect that you're going to do away with this. For all practical purposes, a $6 billion deficit in one budget that is only going to be in the neighborhood of $35, $36 billion. You're not going to be able to generate revenues. You're not going to be able to make cuts to that extent in one year.
Brian, so many of these issues are really connected, even if they may not seem so on their face, because oftentimes the money goes to fund something else. One of the big issues that people have talked about for quite a while now has been the need of an infrastructure program, also known as a capital plan. And that's been, you know, there have been negotiations taking place on that as well. But how to pay for it's always the big key. Do we have any better idea of what money could be going in? If they can pass a program like that, what money would be going in to pay for it?
You know, this is another thing where there's been a lot of back and forth all week. We've heard for a long time about push to raise the gas tax, and that seems like it would be a pretty key component of this. There's some questions about, you know, whether the business groups could even come on board with that, who are normally anti-tax increases. But, you know, if you say, well, if we take the sales tax off of gasoline, which is on top of the motor fuel tax, which is what we're talking about, but advocates say, you know, the motor fuel tax is 19 cents a gallon. It hasn't been raised since the early 1990s. They want to double it. There were other proposals to go even higher than that. But that, because of the constitutional amendment saying transportation-related revenue can only be used for transportation-related expenses that the voters in their wisdom approved a few years ago, that can't be used for the sort of what's called the vertical component of capital construction, horizontal being flat things, roads and bridges, vertical being buildings like on college campuses, hospitals, schools, that sort of thing. And for that, you have to look to other sources. And we've heard, you know, the possibility of a cigarette tax increase being used for that, some of the gambling revenues, either by changing the tax rates that video gambling operators pay, or even perhaps through a broader expansion of gambling, sports betting possibly. But there's, you know, this is still all, as you say, we're taping midday Friday. This is still all very much up in the air, at least as far as we know, sitting here in the State House Bureau.
Well, a lot of taxes have been, you know, ideas have been floated out there, including now the graduated tax. Amanda, when I'm sitting here in Springfield and talk to people, I always think there's a bit of a different view of the idea of more taxes in the state, because there are people who understand the importance of state government. They understand, a lot of them, of course, have pensions and things like that. So they want to see state government funded a certain way. But when you get up to, you know, go downstate farther, like Southern Illinois, you go to Chicago, you may get a different view. What are you hearing from your vantage point in the Chicago area?
Well, this is all still developing, and I think Chicago voters have been very clued to the sort of own mess and intrigue that is city politics, particularly with a new mayor just having taken office and already pressure on to make city pension payments, which likewise are underfunded. You've already had voters there pay increased fees for water, 911, increases in their own property taxes. So there's a lot. There's certainly a piling on of taxes here, and we've seen some of them taken off the table, it appears, in budget negotiations. As Brian noted, it seems like there's no longer going to be the tax that Pritzker had proposed on, for example, plastic bags. But there's a frustration, certainly, with feeling overtaxed, and that lawmakers on both the local level and and also on the state level are looking to voters in every direction, going to your car, going to your paycheck, going to you at the gas station line, trying to milk more money out of you when you are renewing your driver's plate. I mean, it is being taxed, all these taxes and fees, and that is something that I think you hear Republicans talk about. I'm not sure it has gotten a lot of attention, but I think it will continue to, that while Democrats are selling the graduated income tax as something that is going to be, you know, more fair, particularly, it's literally called, they dub it the fair tax, that this is going to be something that is non-regressive. A lot of the other areas that you're looking at taxation and fees are seen very much as regressive. And so this is just the start of it. Further, you will have to see the state not continue to bank on getting these unexpected windfalls like they did this year. And so Republicans warn that you're just going to see more and more coming down the road.
That said, I would just add to what Amanda said in terms of some of the taxes and fees they're considering. There certainly is the worry that I think a lot of lawmakers feel this. They don't want people to feel like they're being nickel and dimed. Then again, a lot of the taxes that we're talking about and fees are relatively opaque, right? I don't know that a lot of people really think about the cost, you know, the fact that 19 cents out of every gallon of gas they're buying is going to the state. And if, you know, gas prices went up 20 cents this week for who knows what global economic reasons, and I'm not sure that they would notice if they shot up, you know, another 19 cents, you know, after if this were to become law. Same thing with cigarette taxes. If you're not one of the minority of people who smoke, you're not going to notice that. And some of the more potentially visible taxes, such as the tax on there was a liquor gallonage tax that was proposed, some of those things, and the plastic bag one, certainly everybody would notice that every time you go to a grocery store or a convenience store or anything. Those the lawmakers have really pulled back from.
So they're trying, Charlie, to basically looking at things that in some ways they can sneak in on people, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I would say that aren't as readily apparent. Probably the tax that is most visible and is the biggest chunk would be the property taxes. A lot of people have them added to the cost of their mortgage. I actually pay them myself rather than have it added to the mortgage. So I look at a bill for thousands of dollars every year. And here in Sangamon County, you pay some at the beginning of June, some at the beginning of September. You split it in half. But that's a big noticeable chunk. On the other hand, as Brian said, when you go to the gas station, I was fortunate enough, I filled up, and Chicagoland listeners will be jealous as crazy, I was able to fill up at $2.55 a gallon. This morning, as I drove by a gas station, it was $2.89. And why did it go up? I have no clue. But it certainly wasn't because the gas tax got increased. So you don't even really think about the gas tax. It's other stuff. And as I say, the property tax is the one that's most apparent, most visible, because you do it in huge chunks.
And just to add to what Charlie said, I think it's interesting that as so many people have shifted to direct deposit for their paychecks, I wonder if even an income tax increase, which again, the one that passed, you know, potentially if the voters approve it through the legislature, wouldn't go into effect until 2021 at the earliest. I mean, I wonder if even that is less apparent to people nowadays than it might have been in the past, because you're not physically, at least a lot of people are not physically handling that check and carrying it into the bank.
And I think maybe even at the federal level, they may be finding that out too when they try to give a break on taxes. People don't notice it as readily. I do want to save a little bit of time here for a couple of key issues. We mentioned them earlier, but marijuana, right now as we record this program, it is being debated on the House floor. That's the final step to getting it to the governor's desk. And of course, the governor said he would sign it. So it looks like, Brian, that this is going to happen.
You know, it certainly seems to have a lot of momentum going for it as we are taping this. Literally, as we are taping this, it is being debated on the House floor. It seems like it's going to be a long debate. There are certainly people who are opposed to it. The real question is, I think in the House, will enough of the African-American lawmakers who had specific personal concerns about this come around and decide that this is something they can support?
And then, of course, gambling is another key issue right now. And Amanda, we've been following that as well, maybe adding some more casinos, sports betting. Does that still seem like it's on track?
Ooh, on track, off track. It seems to change every moment here. This is really pretty much the same set of casinos that have been talked about for a long time, including the exclusion of the capital city from getting one of these. But, you know, you're talking having a casino come to Chicago. Last I heard, it would be a massive casino coming to the state's largest city, and also, you know, downstate Rockford getting casinos as well. Continued fight has been between these daily fantasy sports operations and the very wealthy owner of the Des Plaines Rivers Casino. And he, of course, has been a longtime donor to many politicians. And so that's believed to be something where negotiations have held up as legislators want to know where Neil Bloom is at. it appears as if this is a go at this point in time, just in part because there is such a desire for infrastructure, and you cobble a package together that gives everybody a little something of what they want. And that said, with about 12 hours out, I couldn't predict which way that will go.
Illinois also taking a step this week to, I guess it was called the Reproductive Health Act. And Brian, this follows up on, we've seen some very restrictive abortion laws being passed in other states. Illinois kind of going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, it sure is. And this is something that had a lot of momentum earlier this session, then it kind of hit the brakes. There were some Democrats, particularly in the House, who were a little uncomfortable with thought maybe that Illinois was moving too far too fast. They were getting a lot of pushback from anti-abortion people in their districts. And then the other states, particularly in the southeast part of the country, but even Ohio, Missouri, started passing some really restrictive abortion legislation. They seemingly want to get it before the U.S. Supreme Court to see if they can get Roe versus Wade overturned. That seemed to create a political opening in Illinois, and the supporters of this pushed it through. It got through the House after a very long, very emotional debate on both sides of that issue. It still has to get through the Senate. As we're taping this midday Friday, we're hearing that could be toward the very end of today if it comes up.
And the governor's indicated he'll sign it, right?
He is. He has said on the campaign trail he wants to make Illinois the most progressive state in the nation when it comes to abortion rights.
Well, again, a lot of these issues still in flux as we sit down to record here midday Friday of State Week. Come next week when we sit down, we will have a much better handle on what all took place and maybe what didn't, and we will recap everything for you. Then it's time now, though, for our notes from the field. And, Charlie, let's go to you first.
All righty. Well, we've talked about a lot of issues that are still in flux as this show is being recorded. One issue that has been resolved, however, is the legislature has decided to really crack down on the companies that emit ethylene oxide, which is a highly carcinogenic, very toxic chemical that's used as a means of sterilizing medical equipment and others. This week, the Senate, without dissent, agreed with the House version of an earlier passed Senate bill, also passed the House without any dissent, that would basically say that facilities using ethylene oxide for sterilization have to capture 100% of their emissions, and they can't let anything escape to the atmosphere better than 0.2 parts per million. So this is, of course, in the wake of the findings that the cancer rates around the Sterigenics plant up in the southwest suburban area were much higher than would be expected normally. That came from the Center for Disease Control.
Okay, Brian?
Late breaking word as we're sitting here. We heard that Governor Pritzker and AFSCME, the biggest union representing state government employees, have reached a tentative agreement on a new state contract. This is always relatively big news in state government circles, but it's particularly noteworthy since they failed to do that during the entire 4 years of the Rauner administration and have basically been working under a contract that expired nearly 4 years ago.
That's all the time we have for this edition of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler, Brian Mackey, and Amanda Vinicky. Get a podcast of our show at nprillinois.org or on the NPR One app. Production assistance for the program provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.